Picture this: a seemingly routine car accident, an Uber passenger, and a claim for thousands in lost wages. But beneath the surface of this simple story lies a web of deception waiting to unravel. In this episode of Top Priority Chronicles, Episode 4, we dig into the details and expose the fraud behind the wheel. Join me as we uncover the truth in the case of a man who thought his scheme would go unnoticed. Today's case had to deal with a fraud investigation that I was contracted with a third party to an insurance company. And in my partnership, I was basically hired as the investigator closest to the claimant to go out and meet with the claimant to collect whatever information the insurance company is requesting. Just to be clear, there is a middleman between my firm and the insurance company, and they are called the case managers. So in this case, the case manager passes the case to me. I go collect the information and I pass it back to the case manager, and they pass it back on to the insurance company. So this specific case was when I get involved in cases in insurance company, it's either to go out and take photos of an accident or crime scene, or I am going out to collect information as a part of SIU, Special Unit Investigation claims, which are usually suspected fraud claims. Not proven fraud, but suspected fraud. So this specific case that I was on was the claim resulted from an Uber driver. So there was a passenger in the Uber car had a car accident. And while the passenger filed a claim reporting thousands of dollars in lost wages. What was particular about this case, and again, I am just the fact finder. I collect the information. I don't make any final findings. The insurance company uses the information I provide them to come up with their final findings. So it's not my job to play judge, jury, or to suspect anybody of lying. I just collect the information and the facts will speak for themselves. So again, I want to set the stage just to say this gentleman is not my job to convict him. So I don't know if he was guilty of fraud or if he was not, but I just collected the information. So initially I contacted the gentleman and we met up and I collected a recorded statement from him. And the insurance company usually does that. They collect a recorded statement with your permission on a audio recording saying that if you were called to testify in a court of law, that this same testimony would be what you would recite in court. And so that is kind of the goal is to catch people who are not being honest in the initial claim. If things have to go to court, they will be able to use their own testimony against them. So initially I collected a recorded statement from this gentleman. After the recorded statement, I was tasked with going up to his job and making contact with HR, human resources staff, to gather information about his, you know, the date of hire, his initial application date, and what was his salary. There was a discrepancy in the salary amount, and so that the insurance company had a couple questions about that. So a couple of details. Once I made it on the site, the gentleman had, saw the gentleman as I was driving up, and he directed me to where I needed to go, where their main office was. It was a little bit confusing, and it wasn't very clear on the site where the main office was. And so once I made it to the main office, I got a call from the same gentleman asking me what was I doing there, that I didn't have his permission to be at his job. And basically, I was very kind and respectful to the gentleman, and I let him know that I did not require his permission to be on the job, and my job was to collect information from his HR representative, and I didn't need his permission to do that. And so I thanked him for his call, and we ended the phone call. While I was talking to the HR representative, it was blatantly clear, because he had provided HR paperwork, his date of hire, an acceptance letter, and I provided those back to the HR representative, and she looked through her system, and those forms that I had, she did not have a copy of in his file. And she stated that she hadn't written up those letters, and she was unaware of them, but that the gentleman was hired there. The date of hire was different than was provided to the insurance company, and the date of application was different than what was provided to the insurance company. As a matter of fact, the date of hire and application was after the date of the Uber accident. And so the gentleman was using the Uber accident as a way to claim these lost wages from backdating it. So, make a long story short, as I was leaving out of the office, I ran into a couple of gentlemen. I didn't know them from Adam or Eve, but as an investigator, we are required to identify ourselves. So as I was leaving, the gentleman, I believe he may have said hello, and I let him know that I was an investigator and I was following it up on an insurance claim. And I, briefly introduced myself and walked away. The very next day, I got a text message from the gentleman who filed the claim, stating that I was very unprofessional at his job. The man who owns the company reiterated to him how unprofessional I was by announcing who I was in front of a guest of the business owners who was on their site, and he reiterated the interaction. And I let him know that I didn't do anything offensive. I did not state any specific information that identified him, and that he is more than welcome to file a complaint. He asked who my supervisor was. I kindly let him know that I didn't have a supervisor, but I referred him to the case manager on the case and let him know that he was more than welcome to file that complaint. He continued to text me about what he thought was wrong with my behavior. I gave him the case manager's contact information and kindly asked him that my job with him was over, and that he didn't need to contact me anymore because he had contact information for the people he needed to file the complaint with. So that was the gist of the case. Again, I can't tell you how it turned out because I don't know. I collect that information and I pass it on. It is not my job to play judge, jury, or right or wrong. So the important key takeaways I'd like to share tonight was always verify the claims with additional sources, because discrepancies often reveal the truth. So not only did we collect the information from the gentleman, but we also compared the information he shared with us with the HR. And if you get information just from one source, you're relying on that one source to be truthful. If you collect information from at least two sources, you are fact checking, and you're taking the information that was provided by the one, and you're making sure that it was indeed the information that was provided by entity number two. The second key takeaway is always maintain your professionalism under pressure. I didn't know who the two gentlemen was approaching me as I left the office. That doesn't usually happen, so I was a little caught off guard, but I did announce myself and make sure that they understood why I was on their property in case it was private property. The key takeaway is that handling sensitive cases where claimants may feel exposed requires careful navigation and staying within your legal boundaries. As a private investigator, I know first off that it's important that I identify myself and that people know why I am on site. And so without having to give that gentleman's any information about him that identifies him, unless somebody knew that he was filing a claim, that was not done. So his complaint, although it was very sensitive information, he probably felt outed. I did not violate any laws or cross any of his privacy or share of any of his privacy information. Financial hardship and fraud. Fraudulent claims can sometimes stem from a genuine financial desperation. So it's important to recognize when someone is overstating or fabricating details for personal gain. Just to be, for sake of transparency, I'm not disclosing any names. And so even if I did, all names are changed in my podcast to protect the innocent. But this gentleman was, had disclosed that he was experiencing extreme financial hardship. And what that does for the insurance company is it flags any, if you're reporting claims, but you don't have documents to support your information, you don't have, deposits into your bank account to show what your regular ongoing income has been or loss of wages has been from previous weeks, that makes it a lot harder for the insurance company to be able to support and validate the claim that you're making. So I just encourage you to have all your paperwork in order. And just to be frank, if you are being truthful, you don't have to have a good memory because you just reply and share the information that you shared before, which was what you experienced. Clear communication. When clients or claimants feel wronged, direct them to the appropriate contacts to avoid escalating situations. One thing that I know is that working as a third party allowed me to have an extra covering when clients want to complain. I direct them to the parties of either the insurance company or the case manager. And that leaves me with a covering and without any any fault, especially if not without any fault. I want to clear that up. Especially if I haven't done anything to come to break the law, then it gives me an extra layer of protection because then they cover the complaint with the third parties and I am basically out of the middle. And lastly, before jetting out today, I want to make sure I share resources because my whole goal is to be a support and to be helpful. And I'm not sure who's watching the podcast. I hope everybody's watching the podcast. And if you know someone who'd be interested, share it with them as well. But I also wanted to share financial resources for folks who may be experiencing financial hardship. I've been there before, and so I know that others are there. And if you haven't had to be on state assistance, it can be, or even if you have, it can be quite humbling and sometimes for some people even hard to do to ask for the assistance they need. So I want to just share resources. You can Google resources online for your state, for federal and state assistance programs, or you can look at USA.gov, or again, Google state assistance programs in your state and see what you qualify for. I must say most of those programs are financial income based, so just something to be aware of. They may ask for proof of income and what your income has been, and you may have to your income to be in a certain range for you to qualify for services. Next, I also like to make you all aware that the only nonprofit organization that I'm aware of that provides resources without asking your source of income being the guideline to guard, you know, rule you out of services is Salvation Army. There may be others in your state, so please Google them or look them up on the internet and see what is out there for yourself or if you know a loved one in need. Next, I wanted to talk about small business support resources. First, you want to look online for your state. For the state of Oregon, I know Oregon has a small business support program that is, it's labeled something like Oregon Small Business, and it's usually for people that want to file complaints. But there's many other hosts of resources out there that will help small businesses, especially if you're in a financial bind. I encourage you to reach out, do your research, and find out what's out there and reach out. Also, if you suspect anyone that is maybe committing insurance fraud, I encourage you to if it's Medicare, Medicaid, or any Department of Health or federally funded state programs, you can contact the Office of Inspection General. And that is online. I believe it's oig.gov. And the other one is the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Even if you contacted the FBI directly, they direct you back to the National Insurance Crime Bureau, which is, I believe, nicb.gov. So look those programs up if you should ever need them. Feel free to, if you know of other resources that you think would have been helpful for me to shout out, please shoot them in a DM or shoot them below the video. I always love to learn about new resources and share them out. Thank you all for being a part of tonight's podcast. And one thing I want to leave you with is just a reminder. If you tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory. Okay, this is to all the truth tellers out there. Peace out.